For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
We welcome in our man James Hamm here from the Insiders. James, we were just marveling over the incredible state that the Houston Rockets are in. Now, granted, they're down 0-1 in their series against Golden State. I like the Warriors in that series. We were looking at different players, saying maybe DeMar DeRozan is a nice fit for Houston. And then we stumbled upon the Fred VanVleet contract that's a club option, noting they could pick up the option with the idea of trading $45 million to land a big player of a player they don't even want.
Yeah, Houston's in a good spot. They also have a bunch of draft picks and a ton of young talent that isn't even remotely close to their ceiling yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that they're OKC part two. That's what it looks like at this point. And for right now, I think they've got a really good mixture of veterans and young players. And, you know, like whether that's going to be enough to get them out of the first round of the playoffs, I don't know. You know, the way the playoffs work is always very specific. You kind of got to go in, take your lumps the first time, and see how that goes. You know, you usually get beat up on in the first time you get to the playoffs. Sometimes you make it to the second round, but overall, it's usually a pretty big process of going first round, second round, and then who knows where. But that team is super well built and has a bright, bright future.
One of the trades we were talking about, potential trades we were talking about, was – because Houston kind of came up because I thought I watched them last night and I wonder if DeMar DeRozan would be a good spot, a landing spot for them. He kind of changes the game a little bit. I understand that with the whole mid-range thing, but they have enough defenders on that roster where you could kind of hide DeMar in that aspect. And I don't think you'd be scoring 34 points and a half if you had somebody like DeMar DeRozan that could get you a bucket, get to the line, and all this other stuff. One of the names that was brought up on the Sacramento side of it all, though, was would you trade DeMar DeRozan for Dylan Brooks?
Yeah, probably. I'm not a Dylan Brooks fan. I actually, like said earlier today, like I wouldn't want to go into the Dylan Brooks business. But at the same time, he's younger. He's a much, much better defender. His jump shot doesn't go in like DeMar's, but he can shoot the three. He'll take a few more threes. He does bring an attitude and all that stuff. I mean, that's always, you know, it's tough because I just don't like the antics. And I don't think, you know, like there are antic players out there, but I don't think his actually have a positive influence on the court. So, like, Draymond Green is filled with crazy antics and motivational tactics that he uses. But his team's also won 4 championships and are, you know, moving along right now and could be a surprise 7 seed that advances in the second round. where Dylan Brooks is somebody who agitates, and sometimes it just has a really negative effect on his team.
Is DeMar the most tradable asset that the Kings have? Does he have the most trade value for Sacramento?
Well, no. I mean, Keegan Murray still has way more trade value. I'd say even Malik Monk has more trade value because Malik's got 3 years left on his contract, although the last year is a team option. Oh, no, the last year's a player option. Yeah, when I look at, like, what do the Kings have to offer? I mean, Devin Carter, there might be a group of people out there that would love to get their hands on Devin Carter. I don't know. DeMar is he's sort of the guy, if you can't find someone to take on, like, Zach LaVine's contract, which I don't think the Kings can find somebody, nor do I think they want to find somebody to take on that contract. But if you can't, I mean, I think we can all agree that the best thing is to probably split up those two. So I think DeMar DeRozan is the most movable, like, big money contract the Kings have. And, you know, maybe, well, I would even say more movable than probably Malik Monk at this point, just because DeMar's got 1 year left, but then there's a $10 million buyout for the final year. And that's a pretty good contract for what you're going to get. I mean, he's still going to walk in and average close to 20 points per game. And if you're a team that just struggles to score, I would say it's not only a team like Houston, but a team like Orlando that could really use, like, another scorer, a team like the Lakers, a team like the Miami Heat. All of these groups might look at, you know, a way to find another scoring option. And the Kings might be looking to find just better fit type players.
A quick follow up. Yeah. Are we confident Keegan Murray still has a good level of value?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I mean, I think the worry that anyone would have is that you're going to have to go out and pay him. This offseason, he's extension eligible, but if not this offseason, then next offseason, you could always make him a restricted free agent and try to figure out what his value is on the open market. But yeah, I think Keegan Murray still has plenty of value. He's an exceptional defender. You know, he's a guy that could start for a championship team. He's just not at this point going to be your first or second or probably even third option on a really good team. But in the right situation, he might find himself, you know, becoming the scorer that he should have been in Sacramento.
I'm just looking at some of these guys that it's real specific. Like, I had the same amount of years left on the contract. 20, anywhere between $20 to $25 million per year on the contract to match up with DeRozan. You're seeing guys, Andrew Wiggins makes 27 a year. RJ Barrett, 26. Obviously, you've got your Dylan Brookses, Kyle Kuzma, DeAndre Hunter, KCP, guys like that. Do you think they'd be able to get any of those type of players in a trade for DeMar DeRozan, or would it have to be, you know, maybe two guys that have lesser salaries, but or maybe even lesser players? You think, like, a player for player type swap might be able to work, or do they have to come down on that asking price a little bit?
No, I think the Kings can find a taker out there for DeMar DeRozan's contract. I think you can also, you know, we can talk about adding contract value to that. I mean, sacrilegious, but you want to throw Jonas Valanciunas' contract, all of a sudden you're up to $34 million in $34.5 million in contract, and that means you can go, you know, well above $40 million to take a player back. There are a lot of ways in which the Kings can improve their roster this season. I know it seems pretty bleak when, you know, again, they won the coin flip today. I don't know if you saw that. They did win the coin flip, so they're the 13th pick in the draft. Of course, if they stay at 13, it goes directly to the Atlanta Hawks. If they somehow move up, they get to keep it. But I think that a lot of people just, like, instantly think, okay, well, their offseason is doomed. You know, if the only thing they have is a second round pick and they don't really have, you know, a bunch of, you know, you don't really have a bunch of players that you can trade. You do have some players, but again, there's actually value to having, like, a $8 million Trey Lyles contract when he's under contract. Once he's no longer under contract, you can't trade him for that $8 million worth of salary. And so I think that there are ways in which they've kind of hampered themselves because they don't have quote unquote like trade assets, right? But they do, they will have things like the mid-level exception this summer, which is going to be, I think it's over $13 million this year. So you are going to have other ways in which you can add talent. You'll have the biannual exception. You know, you'll have trades that you can pull off where you trade future draft capital. So I don't think it's all doom and gloom. You know, the right vision and sort of the right conversations can get you a long way in rebuilding this thing pretty quickly. And I think that they're pushed to build a roster right now around Domantas Sabonis, or to just call it quits and say, hey, we're going to have to trade Domas, and that means we should probably trade a couple other guys and start over. I think that their first attack is going to be to go out and try to build the roster around Domas.
Who's the ideal player or ideal type of player to build around Domantas Sabonis? Like, what puts Domas in the best position to be great?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's been like the long athletic shooter. Like, you need more. If you could clone Keegan Murray and make two of them, you would actually, you know, that's the type of player that you need. You need more of, you know, the Cam Johnson type player. What you need is guys that are athletic, that can defend, that can shoot the three. And I don't think that it's that difficult to find those players. I don't understand why the Monty and Wes tandem couldn't find those players, because every other team finds them. Like, there are a bunch of 6'6" to 6'9" athletic, you know, long, defensive minded three point wings right now in the NBA. There just are. Look at every team that the Kings face. You're like, oh, that guy's going to be a problem, you know, because they just don't. They don't have those style of players. And so I think that's sort of like the first line of attack, is just surround him with players that play the game the right way, that are defensive minded. You know, Jake LaRavia can be part of that, but, you know, again, he should be the like third or fourth forward for you in a rotation. You find a point guard that's long and athletic and they can shoot the three. Again, he doesn't have to be like the world's best setup man. He just has to be competent and know how to play the position. And so I think that they can build around him pretty quickly.
Okay. So I'm looking at Bobby Marks's end of the season, just kind of with the 49ers, what the Kings have in front of them. And help me with this, James. I feel like, much like the NFL salary cap, I ask you this every year how this works out. So they talk about the trade exceptions. He says a 16.8, a 6.3, a 5.9, 4.7. They have four trade exceptions?
Yeah, they have four trade exceptions, but they can't be combined.
You can use them in separate deals.
You can use them in the same trade for separate players and even on separate teams. So you can send let's say the $16 million. You can send that for a player that makes below that number. It has to be below that number. Then you could throw in, say, the Sasha Vezinkov deal at 6.5 or whatever, but that can be used to acquire a different player, and you can mix and match. But what they can't be done, it can't be used to do, is say I have a $16.5 million and I have a $6.5 million, so I can go acquire $23 million in player. Like, you can't acquire one player. You have to acquire multiple through different trade options and stuff. But yeah.
Real quick. Can you use DeMar and the trade exception? Or just the trade exception has to be by itself? No players with it.
You can use DeMar and a trade exception, but not for a player that makes more than DeMar's salary. Okay, so you can go up or down 20, I think it's 25% from DeMar's salary, right? So let's just say he makes $25 million. So roughly, you can go up to, let's just say $30 million is a good round figure, right? It might even be like $32 million with DeMar. So you could acquire a player that makes $32 million or less, But then if there's a package deal where you have another player that's thrown in, you can sort of trade exception to acquire that player to go over that figure. Gotcha. So it gets pretty complicated. But also, like, remember the Kings also have their mid-level exception, which means that they can use that as a trade option as well. And they can do that all the way up until the trade deadline. So they can go and acquire a $14 million player or $13 million, whatever the trade exception is this year. So the other thing is my brain just went sideways. All these numbers and people throwing numbers.
I'm gonna make it way worse, James.
Yep, I'm here.
Can you explain Keon's contract situation this offseason?
Yeah. Okay. So the Kings have two choices with Keon. Keon. There we go. The first option is to
James's head is still in Easter break. He's still in Truckee right now. It's all right, James. We got you.
You can just pick up a third year option, the option year on Keon Ellis's contract, and he's your player. It's for nothing. It's a league minimum deal, like $2.2 million. So if we get to the end of the next season, though, Keon Ellis would be an unrestricted free agent. You can try to re-sign him. You can use like whatever you have Larry Bird rights to him. You can, you know, go above the salary cap to sign him, right? But he's an unrestricted free agent, which means anyone in the league can sign him as well, and he can go wherever he wants without needing a passport, basically. So the other way that you can do this summer is that you can decline his option year for next year. And what that does is it makes him a restricted free agent this summer, which means you can sign him to a lucrative contract, or he can go out and he can sign an offer sheet somewhere, and then you can match or not match. So it gives you more options for Keon. And I think at this point, you would also like to pay Keon more money than the league minimum. He's worth more than that. Now, how much more he's worth than that, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to get a 3-year 24 or a 3-year 36. Whatever. Keon might get plenty of money in the free agent market, but there isn't a ton of money to be had out there. And Keon Ellis, while is a fun young player, and I think a very, very good up and coming player, there's also, like how high up a list of priority is he going to be for another team out there? And you just don't know. But for me, like, I would be concerned with the Keon Ellis situation, just like I'd be concerned with the Keegan Murray situation. Like, because when you have a front office that finds a diamond in the rough as an undrafted free agent in Keon Ellis, and who spends a number 4 pick on a guy like Keegan Murray, they have a certain attachment to those players. When you have those guys depart, whether they're fired or they just decided to go to Utah for some reason, whatever the reason, you're handing your franchise over to a different person who has a different view on each of those players and is going to have a different value on those players. So there's going to be some input. If Doug Christie's still the head coach, he would have some input. Guys like Alvin Gentry, if they're still around, he'll have input. Guys like Vivek and maybe Anjali will have input on whether they would like to see those players retained or not. But there's always going to be a different feel with a player when you drafted him or you found him than when somebody else did, and their residuals from somebody else's roster that you may or may not want to push forward with.
My bad. Completely understandable. You talk about Keon and, declining the option and him becoming a restricted free agent potentially. Wouldn't that, you mentioned the options it gives you, but also wouldn't that allow you to let the league set his market? And so maybe in certain aspects it prevents you from overpaying for a guy that, maybe you feel good about. But it also goes back to your other point of the guys that feel good about him aren't here. This is a completely different regime, so they wouldn't have the emotional attachment that they may have had previously to overpay for him. But if you decline that option and becomes a restricted free agent, the league will set the market for who they think he is.
No, I totally agree. It's a dangerous game that the Kings are playing with this. You know, again, if they just go into this offseason and say, hey, we're going to pick up your option year. Number one, I actually think that would kind of put a bad taste in Keon's mouth. Because they're saying, hey, we're going to get you cheap one more year. And then the Kings can sit there and try to work out a contract extension all season long. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be based off of $2 million this year. As opposed to, so say he opts out, you opt out of that deal, and then you give him a 3-year $24 million. Well, in year one, he just made an extra $6 million. So this is where you have to be very careful. Now, what you don't want to do is have him opt out, opt out of his deal, and then have someone come through with like a 3-year $51 million deal at $17 million a year, and now you're sitting there like, what do we do? Now you've got to make a decision, because Keon Ellis is fun and he's awesome when he makes $2 or $3 million a year. Once he starts making, this is the same thing that I think Malik Monk is dealing with right now.
They turn on you quick, like, Keon.
Once you start making $20 million a year, you know, last year was 17. This next year it'll be like 18.5 or 19 for Malik. Like Malik, I don't think he's a starter. But maybe he's his starter. I don't think he's a true point guard. Maybe he can start at the two, but you just traded for Zach LaVine. So all of a sudden, you know, that contract doesn't look nearly as good as it did the day you signed it, when he was just this flamethrower off the bench and everyone was happy with it. But that, again, was when you had De'Aaron Fox as your starting point guard. And, you know, when you didn't have $40 million wrapped up in your shooting guard position, or 46 next season, and Zach LaVine. So, like, again, like, things change so quickly in the league. But, you know, again, Keon Ellis is a great young player. Like, I think, you know, teams would be crazy to let him go. The Kings would be crazy to let him go. So you got to figure out ways to manage that. But again, that's because I've watched Keon his whole career, and Scott Perry hasn't watched Keon his whole career.
I was going to say, in that scenario you laid out, I mean, you know, I love Keon too. $18 million a year for Keon Ellis. Mm. If that's the going rate, you kind of feels like you
can afford that chain he wears.
Right. At that point, you tip your hat. No. And be like, oh, right? Man. That's a lot.
Yeah, but then what do you do?
Well, you got Devin Carter. And I mean that seriously. Like, Devin Carter does a lot of the things that Keon does, and you kind of hope his development gets to the point, because I think Keon's a better player today. But I could see Devin Carter jumping into that role of Keon, and you hope that you have a development jump from Devin Carter from year one to year two, and he could kind of play that role of Keon if Keon is gone.
Yeah, like, look, I don't know what Keon's going to get. I got to be honest. I just, as a player, I like Keon Ellis a lot more than I like Devin Carter. You know, again, Devin's a really good rebounder, and he might be a little bit better off the ball. I'm like on the ball, like, you know, taking the ball to the basket. But I just think Keon knows his role, and Devin's not going to know his role for a couple of years if he ever learns what his role is. Like there's a lot of value to having a 25-year-old guy who, you know, is the same player today as he was in college, and just gets better at doing what he did in college. And I think Keon continues to improve. It's just, he kind of gets gobbled up in the whole mess of this season. Like, there are a lot of times late in the season where Keon started, you know, taking people off the dribble and getting creative, trying to get to the middle of the key and using his floater. And I was like, hey, if this is who he can be, he can average 12. He can average 14 points a game. Like, why not? Especially with the way he shoots it. So, I don't know.
Do you feel like you know who – you said you've ever seen every game of Keon's career. Do you feel like you know who he is as a player?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think, like – again,
this season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need, and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus, tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
People bring up names in the chat, but like I think he's got like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope potential, Herb Jones potential. Like he's not the high flyer that, you know, some of these guys are, but like, look, this is a lockdown 3-and-D defender who shoots 42% from three, and it's consistent, and it's been for like, you know, like a couple of years now, we've seen the same exact thing. What I like about Keon is he's not a hungry mouth to feed. Like this team always does this thing where they go out and they get more mouths to feed on the offensive end. And Keon just does his job. He's a floor spacer. If you gave him an extra three-pointers a game, he's going to average an extra 1 or 2 points a game, you know, or more than that. You know, he's going to average, well, I can do math. He's going to average like 4, 4.5 more points per game. And that's just off a couple of extra threes because that's where he shoots it. So, yeah, I mean, Keon is like, he's not Herb Jones because he's the shooting guard version of. But look at great teams over the course of the last, you know, couple of decades that have players like this that are just so incredibly impactful. So, you know, we brought up Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, which, you know, was a very, very good player for Denver. But it's not just that. I mean, look at how long Danny Green made a career in the NBA. And, you know, guys that just know their job to play defense, to take the toughest cover, and then to hit big shots when they're sent out to them. And for me, like, I would keep Keon, not at all costs. I mean, because there is something called salary cap, but certainly, you know, for a good deal of money.
All right, hold that thought. I know James is going to cook. You're going to cook. We'll come back. We'll talk more postmortem Kings basketball here with our insider from the insiders. It's James Hamm with D-Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Yeah, well, James just got the classic Jesse cutoff.
He couldn't even hear me. That was just you guys that couldn't hear me.
Yeah, he's right in the middle. Right in the middle. I don't know if what you were going to respond to where it was Kings related or we were just talking during the commercial break.
No, it was Kings related. Okay. So, like, I think this is a good, like, when we're looking at, like, the value of Keon, the value of Devin Carter and all that stuff. I think it kind of reminds me of the two players that the Warriors have right now, where one of them is, Jonathan Kuminga. And he's right now, he's out of the rotation in the playoffs. And then the other is like Moses Moody, who's in the rotation and playing. And I think we all can agree that Jonathan Kuminga probably has a much higher ceiling, right, than Moses Moody. But Moses Moody knows his role and does exactly what he's supposed to do. Now, does he make mistakes? Yeah, he makes mistakes. They both make mistakes, but Kuminga's mistakes are more glaring. He doesn't play the same style of basketball as the rest of his team. And so that becomes an issue. And that's where I would kind of compare like the potential of Devin Carter and who Keon Ellis is. You know who Keon Ellis is. We know exactly who he is. He can start, he can come off the bench, he can play the one and the two. Probably not your best option as a point guard just because he's not a pure creator or anything else, but he's a very good NBA player that is going to be in the league for a long time doing exactly what he does. Where Devin Carter is going to be searching and trying to prove who he is still for a couple of years. And that's because, you know, he still thinks of himself as a lottery pick. He's a guy that probably would have gone higher than number 13 if it wasn't for the shoulder injury. All of these things that, like, his dad played in the league, all of these things that would make you believe that he thinks, you know, pretty highly of himself as a basketball player. And, you know, here we are like a couple of years into Kuminga's career and you're still waiting for this moment where everything makes sense, and it still doesn't, which is why he's not playing. And then you've got, you know, a guy like Moses Moody. It's like, hey, this is who I am and what I do. It's much easier for that player to fit into a role in the NBA than it is for a guy like Kuminga or Devin Carter. That's all.
No, I get you on that. And the correlation between Moses Moody and Kuminga is one of like maybe Devin Carter and mm-hmm. Keon Ellis. What is the number? I'll ask both of you guys this. What is the number you would set for Keon Ellis? Say you did the thing where you declined the option. He's a restricted free agent. And my first thought was, it was like, all right, 15 would be the number, right? But I'm looking at some of these guys that are at 17, 18, 19. Malik is at 19. That's where I'll put the cap at it, right? Like a 19. But Keldon Johnson's 18 and a half. Grayson Allen's 17 and a half. Bogey is 17. Luke Dort, 16 and a half. Like, that Grayson Allen one. Like, if Grayson Allen making 17 and a half, it feels like Keon should be making, or I wouldn't sneeze at having to pay Keon $17, $18 million a year. I say that to say it kind of feels like that's the going rate for a guy like Keon. But what's the max you might put that at, James?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot for me. So I know Herb Jones' contract, he makes 13 this year, 14 next, and 15 the year after. I would hope that if you opt out of his deal, but with the understanding that you're going to try to bring him back for a better, you know, a much better contract, that you might be able to work out like a 4-year 32 or 4-year 36. You know, it might cost you a 4-year 48 or maybe even a little bit more than that. But I think that that's kind of where I would hope to start. Because again, you are going to make that extra $6 million in the first year. So it's kind of like a baseball player when you're buying out arbitration years, you know, like Lawrence Butler signed a 7-year deal. And it looks like this huge deal, but he doesn't make a lot of money the next couple of years. And then he makes pretty much what he was going to make as a, uh, as an arbitration eligible player. Like, they basically cashed out his two arbitration years and then got him for an extra 2 years after that. So the whole package looks really good, but realistically, you're giving him more money today. So he's not, you know, making $600K a year for the next 3 years before his arbitration years. But in order to do that, they have to give a whole bunch of money back in years, you know, 5, 6, 7.
There's rumors there's a press conference tomorrow, but to the best of my knowledge, that actually hasn't been announced. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have a press conference the next day or two. I've got to, like, try to work out job situation with us here at ESPN 1320. So it's like, hey, we might have a press conference tomorrow. We might have one on Wednesday. But that's just planning purposes for right now. The Kings, there's one in the works, and it will be in the next day or two.
Okay, so no hangups, no issues. Scott Perry is the general manager of the Sacramento Kings. They're just waiting for the big formal announcement. We expect it to be sometime within the next handful of days.
I last night on Sports Sunday, actually, this wasn't on Sports Sunday. That's, no.
This was when Kenny was at home playing SportsCenter on TV.
No,
whenever
we were all there, but this was not on Sports Sunday. So okay. I'll leave it alone. I went back and checked something, and same thing happened before. You remember what somebody told us when we were off the air about the press conference?
Yeah.
Same thing happened before. Okay. So it's not new news, I guess. Oh. It was during COVID times, though, too, so. Maybe that played a role.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about that, and I was like, yeah, we talked about it. I was like, no, we didn't. Not publicly. Sorry about that.
No, we did not. No, we did not. Hammer, anything stand out about the game ones that we watched over the weekend? Did anyone get your attention? I asked if Oklahoma City, Boston, you know, maybe even Cleveland put some people on notice, and these two guys were like, no, not at all. Memphis sucks.
I think we all realized very quickly that you wanted no part of that buzzsaw that is Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, the Kings would have been, it might not have been 50, but it probably would have been 35.
Yeah, it would have been more respectable.
Damn, 50.
We only lose regular season games to the Thunder by 40.
Yeah, I mean, that team right there is so incredibly well built. And, you know, they have so many options at every position. And, they're the deepest team, and they still have a ton of draft picks, and they still have plenty of cap flexibility. But we were talking earlier, they have 12 guys under contract next year, and their salary is at like 172. Hmm. Like, they're so well off, like, financially, because think of it this way, the luxury tax this year is at $172 million. The salary cap is going to go up between 17 and 18 million next year. So that means that the luxury tax also goes up 17 or 18 million. So as of right now, for next season, they are literally 17 or 18 million under the luxury tax, not the apron, not anything else, under the luxury tax. And all of their players are still, they're on under contract. So, I mean, that team is just so set up for success over the next 5 years. It is crazy.
Now, it doesn't matter because these are great problems to have. But that's about to change. Because SGA is about to get – he's making, I think, 35 now. I mean, we're looking at mid-50s mm-hmm. to 60s with mm-hmm. the next one. And Chet should be eligible for a contract extension because he's the same year as Keegan. So he should be eligible as well.
Shea is under contract for the next 2 years, one at 38, one at 40.8. Chet is under contract next year, and then the year after is a qualifying offer year. He'll get an extension next year, but yeah.
What's the difference between him and Keegan? Just question, like, because we talk about a Keegan extension this summer, but Chet still has. It's because did Chet not get that year of service because he didn't play? Did that happen?
No, he. He did. He has a year of service. Yeah. No. He's eligible for an extension this summer, but it doesn't kick in until the year after that.
Got you.
Yeah. So if they're extension eligible, like right now, like Keegan will be extension eligible this season. That's not for next season's salary. It's for the year after. And that's what makes the Keon Ellis situation so complicated, because you have him for $2 million next year if you want, and you can try to work out a long-term contract extension that kicks in after next year. But he also, if you're going to go that route, he's going to be unrestricted. So if you fail to get that contract extension, then you're in trouble. He'll just walk for nothing. Now, that's why you have to look at whether you want to opt out and then start paying some of the money up front. The other thing I wanted to point out earlier, which is when my brain went sideways, is that the Kings, you know, they hard capped themselves last year, but that's over. July 1st, it's over. So they're no longer hard capped at a specific, you know, they don't have to worry about the first apron, the second apron. Like, they, if they go into those, they've got to pay, but they're no longer hard capped, because it's a 1 year penalty for doing a sign in trade. And so again, once July 1st hits, that sort of just dissolves and goes away.
Was the sign in trade DeMar? Always forget like the exact parameters of the game. Was it shedding salary, getting here, signing, or signing there, executing the trade, shedding salary? All right, I got it. That's why sign and trades, like, people,
sign and trade.
People throw around, oh, do a sign and trade, do a sign and trade. It's so uncommon now. It used to be a lot more common. It's so uncommon now because I don't want to call them, I mean, I guess to a certain degree they're penalties, but the parameters are significantly stricter than they were 15 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very much, like, it's extremely difficult to pull off a sign and trade. And if it pushes you over the luxury, I mean, over the salary cap, the sign in trade does, then it triggers the hard cap. And so, yeah, it's just not good business to do it repeatedly. Now, again, if the Kings find some guy that they just fall in love with this offseason and pull off another sign in trade and hard cap themselves again, that's fine. I haven't even sat down and really gone over the numbers for the Kings and what their salary cap looks like for next season. So, you know, again, we still don't know if they'll ever pay the tax, because they're not going to pay the tax this year. But well, and they probably still have a little bit of money, to get below before, whether they're going to pay the tax or not. Their salary for next season is 160.1. But that's with like not a whole lot of guys under contract. That's seven guys under contract. So that'll put them, you know, probably they should be below the.
But are there cap holds on guys like Trey and Keon and those guys, or no?
Well, there's a cap hold on a guy like Trey, but I think it's like 150% of his salary, so like $12 million. So, sure. But the Kings can just waive the cap hold. They can just waive the right to that cap hold and move on. They can also waive that and then come back later and sign them using like the biannual exception, which is like almost $5 million, and you can do 2 year deal. So there are ways around all of that. But the biggest problem that they're going to have is, you know, again, like Keon Ellis's like cap hold would only be like maybe $2.5-3 million. It's nothing. Oh, it's $2.3 million. That's the team option for next year is $2.3 million. So his cap hold is probably a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah. I mean, and then we'll still have that age old question, depending on what moves they make. Is this team worth going into the tax for? You know, that's the one we're always worried about. And, you know, one of the things that frustrated people on Friday was seeing Davion Mitchell perform the way he did in that Miami Heat playing game against Atlanta. And one of the reasons, or you could tell me, Ham, if I'm correct with this, but one of the reasons he wasn't here in Sacramento is because he had to be moved to get under the cap. If that's the case, that's a little frustrating, because you ask the question, what team would you be willing to pay into the tax for? I'm not saying last year's team was looked at to be a championship team, but you would look at that team and be like, hey, this should be a good team. I would go a little bit into the tax for it. And if Davion isn't here because they didn't want to go into the tax, that's disappointing.
Well, a couple of things on Davion. Number one, I just think that they were over the Davion experience. They also knew that they were going in, they'd picked up his fourth year option, and they're going into this fourth year option, and now they're going to have to pay him. So he's a restricted free agent after this season. He didn't sign an extension last summer. So he's going to go into this offseason as a restricted free agent, and Miami will have to decide what they're willing to pay and match. The other thing with Davion is that that trade in itself was really more about Sasha. They were trying to find Davion just a spot to go to, and then they were able to dump Sasha's, you know, $12, $13 million salary. The problem was that then he walked away from that salary and just went back to Europe, and the Kings gave up a couple of second-round picks to do it. I've said this to you guys a million times, and, you know, I mentioned it earlier with Kyle. Like, we joke around about, you know, remember the Hassan Whiteside stuff? You guys used to say, I hate Hassan, or I hate JaVale McGee. And no? I think a lot of people, yeah, they think I hate Davion Mitchell. And I kept saying this exact thing. If he gets into the right situation to place a right style of offense for him, he has every opportunity to be a really good NBA player. And all of a sudden, he's in the right situation. It is an isolation game. It's a totally different style. It's not a flow offense. It's not a read and react offense. It's a very specific type of offense. And he's just totally flourishing. Now, has he like just blown up the entire time he's been in Miami? No. Like, he's had ups and downs like he did anywhere else, but I still think he can be an exceptional player, especially someone who plays defense like that. And I even made the argument to Kyle, like, this Kings team this season is more like what Davion Mitchell, the style of offense that he would thrive in. But that's not the offense that you went into the season thinking you were going to have. And so it makes sense to not have him here. And, you know, again, to find someone who's different than him. But, you know, overall, I think, again, Davion's a hard worker. He's a good kid. And in this situation, he's finding a perfect home for himself and also making a whole lot of money. Because you can bank on yourself in this situation and say, well, look, I'm not going to take a low level extension, or, you know, or I'm just going to go into this season knowing I'm a restricted free agent, and I'm going to lay it all out there. And at the end of the day, I think Davion's quickly, you know, looking more and more like the Kyle Lowry type player that we thought he might turn into than just the number nine pick full on bust. But it's situational, and I don't think that would have ever happened here in Sacramento, unfortunately.
What about under Doug Christie? It's something we were talking about earlier, is how would a player, especially in the circumstances of this year, thrive? A player like Davion thrived under Doug Christie?
No, it's possible. I mean, it is, but, you know, again, Doug was on that coaching staff for the last 3 years with Davion, so it's not like he didn't have some sort of say, well, not say, but some sort of at least input on what they thought of him as a player. And like, you can see it, like, some players just, they just don't fit the system. And it's the read and react. It's the, you guys remember the Mike Brown, you got to make a decision within 0.5 of a second of touching the ball. That's not Davion's game. Mm-hmm. He likes to ease into every possession. He likes to take an extra bounce here and there. And that's not what the system was supposed to be about. And that's where he really, you know, kind of just didn't fit. And so, but that doesn't mean he won't fit other places, and we're already seeing it.
Well, I'll tell you this. Might put Davion in my Price Picks lineup tomorrow.
Oh,
because
okay.
Playoffs are here, and mm-hmm. you best believe every night, just like how people be like, oh, TNT every night, Inside the NBA every night. No, your boy's going to have a lineup every night. I've got one tonight, too. I'm going to post it on social medias, but three of the five
plural,
picks.
All the social medias.
three of the five people in my lineup, demons.
Okay.
Demons, man. So, look, that's going to be there for everybody to see. Go to prizepicks.com. Before you do that, download the app.
Well, you could do either. I hate this game.
Yeah, download the PrizePicks
app. I hate this game.
Download the PrizePicks app. You know, put the promo code KIFM in there, and you get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup.
Yep.
That's promo code KIFM to get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. You must be present in certain states. Mm-hmm. Go to prizepicks.com for more details at that point. Prize Picks, run your game. Kyle is back. Kyle is back. The man that started it all. Kyle is back. No, he's on the board.
No, Kyle is the one who hijacked the bit.
Let's see.
He's like the second doink. He's not even the real doink. He's the second doink.
Well, Zabo, get it together because he's now only three games back.
Three games back. The local guy got it right. He put the demon on there.
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing, Big Drew. Yeah. But, yeah, I should have went all demons, but just 3 out of 5.
You going Davion then?
Well, that's for tomorrow, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I only got today.
Is everybody so happy for Davion, by the way? So happy for Bogey for like a year straight. We all love seeing Bogey on this stage. All right, get out of here. Everybody happy for Davion? All right, I'm just making sure.
I'm happy for the dude.
No, I'm just glad. Oh, no, I'm glad everybody's happy that all the players at the Kings straight away are succeeding.
We happy for Marvin?
Great. Yeah, you happy for Marvin? Marvin got some minutes. Marvin might get a lot of run in this series.
Didn't he not miss a shot?
Did he?
He started out.
I told you I had checked out by that point.
Checked out? When did I check in?
Well,
did he hurt his foot?
I checked in
when my mom said, "Do you need to watch this game?" Nope. Looks like it's over.
Someone's like, she tried sneaking that one into the chatty house. Oh, Kings missed out on that one, too.
They did.
They were down 50.
Marvin Bagley, let me just see.
Playoff Marvin, lighten it up.
Marvin, a perfect 8 for 8. From the field, 1 of 1 from 3, 17 points,
guys,
5 rebounds.
He's finally figured it out. He's got it together. It's
time. He just
needs
to make every shot.
It's Marvin's time and be down 50 so he can play. It is Marvin's time. You think the Kings, you brought up Kuminga and Moody earlier. It's funny, Kuminga, like I read a Brooklyn Nets thing this morning. Like I think it was from Mark Stein, if I'm not like it's a thing. Like it is a full on talking point around the league. Like what will the Warriors do with Jonathan Kuminga? Is that now? Obviously, there's going to be a market for him. I think this is going to be a pretty robust market this offseason. Can the Kings with the assets that you laid out earlier today? Can they get involved in some of this?
Well, I think he's a restricted free agent. Like, they didn't sign him to a contract extension last year. He's in the same boat as Davion, same draft. So
are we talking like, sign and trade?
Yeah, you're talking sign and trade. It's a better, geez. Or, you know, he can go sign an offer sheet somewhere. But, you know, the way the offer sheet works is if he signs an offer sheet, you can't trade him to that team.
Right.
Like, you have to either pick up the whatever contract they signed him to, or you got to let him go at that point. So... there's always a possibility for a sign and trade, but again, are the Warriors going to be a team that goes out and gets hard capped, and you know, or are they already in a situation financially where it doesn't really matter? We'll have to see.
They'll find some way to manipulate it and make it work.
Yeah, they always do. Yeah. They should absolutely.
They
try
still
to
have
sign
Bob Myers like, no, do this.
Bob Myers was on the call on Saturday for the Nuggets Clippers, I think.
Was he?
Yeah, he was on a call. Who was he with?
Was it Nuggets Clippers? I know I saw him,
I don't think so. I feel like I would remember if it was the Nuggets Clippers, but maybe
it wasn't, because it wasn't Knicks. It wasn't Lakers.
I didn't watch. I almost watched none of the Knicks-Pistons game.
I saw the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Yeah. Trying to go up 2-0 tonight.
Yeah, we didn't talk. There's a couple games we didn't talk about, man. That Lakers Timberwolves game. Wow, you really
everybody talking
like
crazy about Pistons, all right. This, all that. Yeah, all right. Yeah,
all right. All right. We're at the point where Kenny's acting like he's from New York, so we're just going to leave. Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to head over to 102.5 if you want to join us over there. If not, make sure you're tapped in tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Knicks!
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports?
You can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.